Amen. Thank God. Amen. We want to do something. It's time to get busy. Time is growing short. And only what you do for Christ is going to matter. Amen. And if we help folks, then God will keep us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Which is what he's done.
Yes.
I'm going to finish this message. It's called Away in the Manger. If you want to know what I did last week, you got to get the CD. We covered a lot of ground last week. And then going all the way back. We're in Luke, the second chapter, the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his exposed wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Amen. Now, it's kind of ironic that all this was taking place. As I was restudying, and see, I even went back and listened to the CD from last week so I could get in line with what I taught last week. Because a lot of times when I'm teaching, I don't remember. Because God gets in it and I don't remember. So I have to re-listen to it myself. And as I was going over this, I realized something that Caesar, they had an ultimate plan also. In taxing everyone, that meant that everyone had to go to their own hometown or where they lived. That was another way he was trying to find this Messiah. Because he knew at the time of taxing, everyone would have to be in their place. And it would be easier for him to catch up with them. But God always has an ultimate plan for us. Ain't that good?
Yeah.
God made sure there was no room in the inn. So they would have to go to the most unlikeliest place and set up shop. You may not be where you want to be, but I don't care what you're going through. I guarantee you where you are is where God wants you.
Amen. Amen.
Because it's the place where he can minister and deal with you the most.
Yes. Yes.
So he can open up your understanding and enlighten your supernatural eyesight. So with all this going on and Mary getting ready to have a baby, last week we dealt with the manger was the place of small beginnings. I was writing this down this morning. There's a place of small beginnings that we must begin in order to get to where we need to go. The place of small beginnings represents purpose in your life. All of us have a purpose, a designed purpose. A lot of times we don't know what it is. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't sense it. You can't hear it. But there's going to come a time in your life where you will get to a certain area or a position or a situation in your life and it's going to click. And you're going to say to yourself, this has been designed by God. I went through all of that to get here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, what you went through might not have made you happy. I went through some stuff that none of it made me happy. I was fed up, tied up, broke up, messed up. All the time, God was still saying, keep it moving. Keep standing. Keep fighting. Keep believing. Keep trusting. So that's what I had to do. So as we were dealing with that, and then today as we pick up, we leave the place of new beginnings and we begin to deal with a place of humiliation. We don't like humiliation. No one likes to be humiliated. But this humiliating isn't talking about what someone can do to you. It's by you putting yourself in a place of humbleness.
Yes, 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 yes.
There's a difference between being humiliated by somebody and being humble to humiliation. Jesus humbled himself.
Yes.
He humbled himself. And what's so special about this whole thing is that we don't understand, but even though he was in his mother's womb, he was still in control.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
He was in control.
Amen.
That's how him and John the Baptist was having their little conversation right. when they were yet in their mother's womb.
Yes.
And they jumped because he quickened. So see, he was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was even born.
Amen. Amen.
That means that God has a design and a plan and a purpose for your life. You say, well, I'm tired of going through hell. Well, get over it. It ain't going nowhere. You have to move. And the way you move is not by evading it, it's but by dealing with the storm. How do you deal with the storm? By realizing who you are in God. Amen. Realizing that God is producing a new character and a new personality in you. A personality that sees things different than we see them. We look past the natural and we see what God is doing in the spirit. It gives you the advantage. That's what it is. It gives you an advantage when you can see what God is doing in the spirit. The advantage is now you can place yourself under subjection to the power of God. You don't get mad so quickly.
Yes.
You're not moved so quickly.
Yes.
You're not entangled so quickly. You're not discouraged so quickly.
Yes.
You're not broken up so quickly. You now can see that God has an ultimate plan and a purpose for your life. And you say to yourself, Lord, in the midst of all this, I'm going to praise you anyway.
Yes.
I'm going to glorify you anyway.
Yes.
We can be like, yo, Father, though you slay me, yet will I.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust you anyway. That's because you realize that whatever it is that you're going through, it's a purpose and an intent for it. Don't make us happy, but our happiness is not in what we have or who we are. Our happiness is who is in us.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. And that's important. Let's go to Romans 12 and 16. Romans 12 and 16. Elder Redwine ministered just passed away this morning, and it was fabulous.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
It was anointed by God.
Yes.
Be the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's humbleness. It says, be the same mind, one toward another. What it's telling you is that when you find yourself in the stall, in a manger, or in a horse trough, and you're looking up, and you don't see the sky, you don't see the sun shining, all you see is the roughness of the terrain of the wood that's above you. When you find yourself in this stall, in this manger, in this trough where the beasts are, you realize that God has brought you to a place where you're now dwelling in a place so that you can manifest the character and the nature of God where there's beasts all around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
My God.
God was ministered to me this morning. I wrote this. When we come to a place of humbleness or humiliation in God, it's not where we feel bad or we're discouraged, but it's a place of strength and a place of joy and a place of glory in God, because we know that where God has taken us to is far more greater than where we were.
Amen.
Because our understanding has changed. Our mindset has been transformed, and we've been renewed in the very depths of our heart. So when we see things, we see Christ.
Amen.
We come to a place now where we can see him in everything. You have to see him in this steel pole. You have to see him in this carpet. You have to see him in these wooden walls. Why? Because everything that is and was created by him. That's why he's trying to change us, pastors, so that we can see him in everything. When you see him, even when you see him in folks who have persecuted you or afflicted you or trying to destroy you, you still have to see God.
Amen.
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 You know why? Because you ain't going to do nothing to hurt God. You're not going to rebel against God. And you're not going to fight back against God. So, be the same mind, one toward another. That means you've got to look into their hearts and see who they are. What does that have to do with being born in the trough? Let me read this to you. There's a place of hope we will come away from. All that is familiar. We've gotten so comfortable in our familiar atmosphere. A place that is comfortable, convenient. And we need to let God lay our lives down in the midst of a beastly creation. From the manger will spring forth a remnant that will feed nations. God is trying to bring you to a place where you can become the feed and the water that's in the trough that they need to make
it.
They laid Jesus in the trough and he was going to become the savior of the world. He was who we need and who we have in our lives that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So in that process, we have to transform ourselves, be of the same mind toward one another. We have to become what they have need of in order that they might survive. I know that we don't want to be bothered. I'm sick too. I'm tired too. I'm hurting too. But God is saying you have to realize that you're going through what you're going through so that you can get greater understanding. Can't nobody know or understand what it is that you're experiencing. You can tell them 100 times, they still won't get the depth of what you're experiencing. But you know, and it's important that you understand and don't mind high things. Don't caught up in things that you can't control. We get haughty in our spirits when God began to move for us. But when we do that, we slack off on our praise and our worship because our mind, our flesh tells us that we're doing it ourselves. Well, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm the one that thinks that. What it does, it says, but condescend to men of low estate. That don't mean that they're not worthy of what God has for them. That don't mean that they're not who God wants them to be. That just means that you have to look at who you want to become and portray that same character and that same nature. Whatever you want folks to become, you have to do it first.
Come on, say it. Say it.
You have to do it first.
Yes.
It's going to be harder for you to do it first than you'll ever believe. Because folks abuse you, accuse you, persecute you, and most of the time they're doing it, you don't even know they're doing it. And you know what's so bad about it? They think they're doing God a favor. They think they're helping you. But it depends on how you see it. Can you imagine when Jesus found out that he was born in the stable? There was no room in the inn. There's times in your life God don't want you to be comfortable.
Amen.
The inn is called the guest house. God ain't trying to make you a guest. He's trying to turn you into a warrior.
Amen. Yes.
He wants us to be warriors of the cross.
Don't say that, Dennis.
He wants us to be warriors. We got to go through some stuff. I'm here to tell you. Been through some stuff. Been trying like a fire. Been times I was ready to give up too. Because I convinced myself that it wasn't worth it. This ain't worth it. You don't have to deal with this. You don't have to go through this. Part ways with all of this. Then God said, where you going to run? Where can you hide? When I was doing this research on this and I was looking at this, there was one word, a four-letter word, kept popping up. Self. It kept popping up. I was like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Why is this word just keep popping up? Self. Go back to Matthew. Oh, Luke, I'm sorry. Look at the sixth verse. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. As she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The word him there, the translation for it is self. Because there was no room for them, the word them there is translated self. In the end. God wants you to lay your flesh in the manger.
Yeah.
He wants you to lay yourself in the stall. And he wants you to know that there ain't going to be no room for self in the inn, in the guest room. And if you break down self, it means flesh. Jesus' mom laid his flesh. She needs some water, Sean. Where's Sean at? You should be in here anyway. She needs some water, Sean. This is what we're preaching about, self.
Thank you.
Self need to be put to rest. Flesh need to be laid in the manger. You can't minister to a beastly world if you still the beast. The beast has got to be transformed. You've got to be renewed in the depths of your mind so that the beast nature don't have control and authority over your life. Jesus represented everything that we are going through in every place we are about to go.
Amen.
Just in this manger, in the stall, it represented all. Her firstborn, the Bible says, for he is the firstborn among many brethren.
Come on now.
And we are to be conformed to the image and the likeness of God.
Yes.
The 12th chapter says, present yourselves as living sacrifices. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty God, the Creator of all the universe, the stars, the heavens. He became what he created. He became the creation and created. He said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, Father said, we shall have a man in our own image and our own likeness. This same God that formed the firmness of the earth is now laying in a dirty manger, in a dirty thing that animals drink out of, with cows and horses and pigs and all these things in the barn. A King of Kings and our Lord and Savior, which come to redeem mankind, is laying in a stall. To show us the sacrifice that we are supposed to make to become
now.
Like him.
Come on now.
Self will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm saying self because you don't want to retake the flesh part. Self not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We are going to be tried. I know why Paul wrote that now. You're going to be tried like as unto a fire. And the bad thing about it is, you got to burn. You got to burn. Because it's the burning that gets rid of all the impurities.
That's right.
You better get in your manger. We're so worried about carrying the cross. You better get in the manger.
Amen.
place of hope. Isn't it amazing how God has the way, the ability to manipulate things? God will manipulate your life so that he can give you life. He'll manipulate your life so he can transform your sadness into joy. He is the great manipulator. That means he's involved in everything you go through, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That's why the word of God said it rains. I was listening to, I was looking at one of the gospel stations this week, and I heard a teacher. Make the statement that God was telling them that God couldn't do what he was supposed to do, and I changed the channel. Because if it wasn't 50,000 people in that stadium, 50,000 people now believe that there's a devil inside their head telling them when to turn, when to eat, when not to eat, what bad things are happening to them, instead of realizing that we control our own destiny. The hope of the matter is that Christ in you,
yes.
The hope, the evidence of the glory of God, the evidence of God's authority, the evidence of God's peace, the evidence of God's strength, the evidence of his creation, the evidence of his image, the evidence of God's knowledge, the evidence of all things is the hope. So when it's raining, I have hope that it's going to stop. So let me ask you a question. Where are you laying today? Are you in the stall or are you in the inn? Are you comfortable or are you disrupted? Then I read this, Pastor Keys, teacher. Blew me away. The shepherds, look how great God is. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were already there. I know we read how they followed the star to Bethlehem, but it says they were already there. And you know what's so funny about it? They had no idea why they were there. And it wasn't just three or four. It was a ton of them. And they were guarding, protecting, watching over the sheep at nighttime. There's going to be some dark areas in your life, and God wants you to shepherd over your own life.
Come on, thank you.
Amen.
Because there's going to come a time in your life when there's going to be no one that can help you. Yeah. And there's going to be no one that you trust but you. And you better make sure that the one you're trusting is Christ in you and not you.
Amen.
They were in the same country, the shepherds abiding in the field. They were actually living in the field. I like the word field because the word field is translated cosmos or earth. The very thing that we come from, God is now using to protect.
Amen.
Don't you think God knew what was happening when Caesar decided to take taxes? And old Joseph did what? He went right on back into his hometown. And you know what else I found out about that? about this country, this field they were abiding in, it is the very same place. How many listen to it? It is the very same place where David guarded the sheep.
Oh my God.
The very same place where David was watching over the sheep when the prophet came to get him.
Yes.
The angel of the Lord came to them.
Yeah.
You may be in a field or in a wilderness experience in your life. Things may not be making you happy. You may seem like you missed out on something, but I got news for you. If while you're there, if you still watch over or you protect what God has given you through praise and through worship, I got news for you. God will send an angel unto you. It might not have wings on its back, but it'll be an angel. It might not talk the way you want it to talk, but it'll be an angel, because it'll lead you to safety and it'll shine for the light in your heart to uplift you in your spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
An animal trough. How many have went to sleep at night and said to yourself, I can't wait till the morning? And woke up the next morning and nothing changed. You still felt the same. You still had the same thoughts. The same people were around you. Like they were going to disappear while you slept at night. But it's here. You have to see things the way you want them to be. You know what else I like about that? It says she laid him in the trough. The whole time he was doing what? When he opened his eyes, he was looking up. Arnie's dad taught me something. Arnie's Denise's dad. I used to always ask him how he was doing. He had one thing to say: holding on and looking up. If he can't remember your name, he'll remember to tell you he's holding on and looking up. Because of something in their spirit. There were times I'd be watching Pastor Hart. He didn't know where he was at. He'd get up and get dressed for church. Pastor Hart, we don't have church this morning. Well, glory! Because it was embedded in his heart. What you embed in your spirit and in your heart will get you through the hard times.
Yeah.
We used to have prayer meeting, Brother Little John, at 6 o'clock in the morning. Ooh, Lord. Ooh. And one day he couldn't get up to come, so I left him in the bed and I came to open up. When I got back, he was laying at the foot of the stairs. He had fell down the stairs, busted his head. And he said, I was looking for you. I said, brother, I went to the prayer meeting. We got to get you to the hospital. I think he had to get stitches. All the way, he kept hollering, well, glory. And I'm going, I wish he would be quiet. Because I was thinking about me. I said, I'm tired. He done fell down the stairs. Should have been in the bed in the first place. Where he going to go? I'm fussing all the way to the hospital. So they come out to get him out of the car, put him in the wheelchair. He's still hollering glory. And I'm going, oh. So the one time he don't say glory, the guard that's at the emergency room says, glory. And I'm like, what? And God said, it ain't just him. It's others that you don't even know.
Yeah.
And immediately, since Diane, I remember about the prophet. You ain't the only one serving me. I got 7,000 more prophets all over this land that's going through just as much as you're going through. Lay yourself in a manger. Keep your eyes looking up and keep your praise exalting. Keep your worship coming up and you'll find out that things ain't as bad as you thought they were. They could always be a lot worse. I was riding down 7 miles over here and I was fussing about, didn't have no gas in my car. It was freezing that day. And I rolled by the bus stop and I saw all them folks standing out there trying to hold up together, trying to stay warm. God said, you in a car. The manger speaks to you. It lets you know, bring your flesh under subjection and thank me for what you got. They were happy that they found themselves in that place. She was just as happy.
Amen.
It says she laid him. If you research it, it means she comfortably placed him.
Yes.
And laid him in the stall. Like I told you, and there, why was there not water in the stall? The barn was full of animals, but there was no water in that particular stall. Because God, even though you have to lay yourself in the manger, you better believe that God's done already got involved in it and made it a place of escape for you. It was a place of escape for him. It wasn't where we thought he should have been born at. We figured he should have been born in the inn, in a comfortable place. He shouldn't have been the guest. He was the King of Kings. But he was born where God wanted him to be born. And all the wise men, as they call them, why were they called wise? Because they were brilliant? No, because they were intelligent enough to follow God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And get there in plenty of time before the blessed event. Somebody gonna always be trying to kill you. If not physically, 99% spiritually, they want to kill you. But God will always make a way of escape for you. And most times, it's not gonna be where you want it to be. It's not gonna be the Hilton. It's not going to be Palm Springs. It's going to be someplace you're going to say to yourself, how to get here. God, I'm your child. But you're going to find out wherever God placed you, the storm is going to pass over.
Amen.
You know how much we complain about Detroit? We fuss about Detroit. They got murders and they stealing, they doing breaking in houses, they doing all that and above. And some stuff we ain't even thought of. But you know when we thank God? When there's tornadoes all around.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
The storm passes over.
Yeah.
Because we're in a ditch. Don't you want to go someplace where it's safer? Where is it safe?
Nowhere.
It's safe nowhere now. There's only one place safe. What'd you say? He who hideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's Christ in you. That's your hope. Hebrews said Abraham believed in hope. against hope.
Amen.
When your flesh tries to give up on you, you have to trust God anyway.
Amen.
You have to resist that bad boy. Look here, fella. Look here. You have to talk to yourself.
Yes.
Look here,
yes.
Fella. You don't control this life. God does.
Amen.
God controls this life. So I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm going to look up to God. Remember that letter I wrote? I read you about tithing. You missed it. Well, take on. But folks still talking about her.
That's right.
Because she laid herself in a manger and became what that young lady needed to find God.
Amen.
You got to become somebody's hope.
Amen. Yes.
But see, it's not you. It's the Jesus in you. What's that scripture? If I be lifted up. Got y'all. It don't say I draw. It says draw. If I be lifted up, draw all men unto me. It said he wants you to know if you lift him up. Hallelujah. You had already created an atmosphere for men and women to come to God.
Amen.
But see, when you quote it, if I be lifted up, I draw. It's not you.
Right.
That's why they eliminated the word I. It says draw. Because it wants you to know it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus,
amen.
The one said it. If I be lifted up, if you lift me up, it's going to be me through you, by you, according to my word, that's going to draw men unto me. Yeah. But you got to do what? You got to lay yourself in the manger.
Amen.
I guarantee you one thing. I'm closing. I guarantee you, Mary, you already knew there was no room in that inn. It was Joseph that was trying to find a room. Because Mary represented the church. Joseph represented this stuff. God already had to do something to him to make him repent. He wasn't going to repent on his own. God said, I'll teach you. How did she already know? Because she had a hope living on the inside of her that was like a beacon of light. They try to say faith and hope is the same, but it's not. You were born with faith, not with hope. It's your faith that produces hope. It was Abraham's faith that gave him the hope. Now, he made a lot of mistakes on the way. But in all the mistakes he made, guess what God was doing? Showing him how great he was. And that his word will never fall void. Better believe that God's got somebody in the field watching over you, just like somebody's trying to destroy you. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Don't get yourself so caught up when God, you get your visitation from God that you're afraid of. You know what? You're only afraid of things that you don't recognize.
Right.
You better make sure you recognize Him.
That's right.
You can't recognize Him if you don't fellowship with Him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Koshi,
himogokoshi komoboshaka. Did I not say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and you shall find rest in your soul?
For it comes from me, said God. For yea, I prepared the way. That's why I said in my word, I am the way. Ha, kobobo shaka. Look unto me, I am the author and the finisher. Yea, I said it in the beginning, and I finished it in the beginning, said God. Yea, I laid down the foundation, and the foundation is in Christ Jesus, your hope. So lift me up and glorify my name, for I am with you always, even until the end of time. Yea, I was with thee, yea, even before you was thought of in your mother's womb, said God. Yea, I prepared the way before this time came forth, said God. Yea, when the time came forth in the season, yea, you sprang forth, and you sprang forth into this world, said God. But yea, I have already prepared a way of an escape for thee, for I am your God, and I shall always lift thee up and bring thee out. And fear not, and like I told my son, yea, I shall not lose not one of you, said God, for I have claimed thee, thou art my price, and thou art my pride, said God. So lift me up and praise me, and I will glorify myself in the earth, said God.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Just like she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, the book of Romans talks about us aligning ourselves with the firstborn that we might spring forth. The battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. But as long as we hang on to it, we make it ours.
Yeah. Man.
Lord, I want to be in a manger. And I want to be looking up, even though it's a place of first beginnings. It's a place of humility and humiliation. And it's a place of hope. That's where I want to be.
Yes.
Because I know out of the midst of that hope shall spring forth a character and a nature like you that shall minister life and joy and peace to a lost generation, confused generation, a bewildered generation. And I'm not talking about folks outside the church. I'm talking about folks in the church. As in Revelations, as men and women all over the country that are in churches are looking for the beast to come up out of the sea. They're looking for a monster with horns and big red eyes. When if they look in the mirror, they'll see a beast.
Yeah.
And they'll see horns. And they'll see big red eyes. Because there's a nature in us that would like to conform us to his image,
that
we miss out on the image of God.
Come on now.
And if you're looking for something else, you will allow you to find it.
Yeah.
And you will deceive, like Romans says, yourself. And trick yourself out of the very thing you've been fighting, the good fight of faith for.
Yeah.
It's not new cars or new houses. It's not to be filthy rich. But it's to have a nature and a character like Jesus. That in the midst of all the storms and the beatings and the abuse that he went through, he never neglected to lift up his Father, which was in him. And when he stood before the congressmen in the city and they accused him, he opened up not his mouth to defend himself, because he knew that he was born in a manger. And he knew that he was born and already in an uncomfortable place. And this was part of that place that he was born in. But he understood one thing. In spite of whatever they did to him, he was not going to die, but he was going to live. And we shall not die, but we shall live till we can declare the works of the Lord. You have to become the place of small beginnings. You have to become the place of humiliation. And you have to become the place of hope. Hope for not just yourself, but people that are around you. You have to become that hope. It's going to cost you something to become what you need to be for God, so that your life will minister. Do you know you do more ministering without opening your mouth?
Yeah.
Whether it be good or bad?
Yeah.
Because folks don't care what you have to say no more. It's cheap. It don't mean nothing to them. All they care about is what they see you do. And they're not supposed to care about that, but they do. And the church more often. Because that way they can exhort themselves and make themselves think that their stuff don't stink.
Amen.
You have to become that place. There is a character and a nature that's coming out of that's going to manifest itself in the people of God in this earth. Folks are going to say to themselves, if I've known this, what you was trying to do, God, I'd have went through all the time without complaining. You better keep holding on and looking up. There's a way into the manger. But it speaks of sacrifice. You have to sacrifice all your comfortability. That don't mean you got to stop being blessed. It just means your comfortable zones, things that you know you ain't got no business thinking or saying. Everyone stand. There is a way into the manger, but it's through Christ.
Yeah.